Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Point where I'll just sell their stuff then. If they ain't gonna give me no money, I'm gonna sell their stuff to pay for my lifestyle.
No.
It's ridiculous.
No. I don't agree. I don't think that that's what's happening.
No, I think that's exactly what's happening. What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shaira.
And we would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black Married and Debt Free podcast. Thank you for the applause. We truly appreciate it. Thank you for locking in with us, Shy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Okay, Shy. You got the little nice little, y'all can't see Shy, but she got a nice little different hairdo going. You know, she got the little swoop going and everything. She's looking good. Skin is glistening.
You know what I mean? How about yourself?
So I'm doing okay. Let's see. What I had everything. I had something all ready to say about how I was feeling. Got lots of sleep. Lots of sleep last night.
Yeah, we were watching a certain documentary on Hulu, and it wasn't as good as we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, we was watching the Freaknik doc.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. We did go to church this morning, so, we had
to. Well, the original name for the Freaknik was just, it wasn't it became, what I mean?
Okay, yes.
So, yes. But yeah, y'all check that out if y'all want to check it out. It was on Hulu. It was just okay.
I wasn't impressed. I think that it could have, how the event, how it was presented, yes, or produced, maybe?
I think it was how it was produced.
Yeah. Could have been a little bit stronger.
A little bit better. I feel like they got a lot of information. They just didn't roll it out in a nice piece. Like,
right.
It wasn't pieced up nice.
But anywho,
y'all check it out.
If that's something that you're into.
Yeah. If you are our age or older, you definitely, this is not the first time you heard of that.
I don't even know that it was
gathering.
I didn't hear about that when I was younger. I wasn't really tapped in that way.
Yeah, we were a little young. You know, we were probably like 10 when it was lit. Mm-hmm. So we were a little young.
But, you know, we're over here in Cali, so.
Yeah.
But anywho.
But you know what it did do, Shire? It made me wish that I had the Black college HBU experience. You know, I never, like you said, being out in Cali, I think we might have one HBCU in the state.
We do?
I think we do. I'm going to look that up. But yeah, we just weren't around that culture, and I kind of wish I was watching that. Like, just the camaraderie and the family feel of it. It seems pretty cool.
Okay, so it's not an HBCU, but I know that Sac State is doing something where they are
Sac State
emphasizing African American experience.
Yes.
But we don't have a historically Black college
so
university.
So we don't have one in Cali. Okay, I thought we did. I'm sorry. I thought we did. But yeah, so it was dope. Check that out. But yeah, got a lot of sleep. We fell asleep. Like, we getting old, Shire. We fell asleep halfway through. You know what I'm saying? So I got plenty of rest. Almost to the point where I think I got too much sleep, but I'm good to go. I'm excited to be on the podcast with you. We have some interesting topics today. We're going to be talking about...
are we talking about?
We're going to be talking about Kobe Bryant's family dynamic between in-laws and, you know, broken relationships or, you know, severed relationships with parents and different a whole bunch of hodgepodge of different dynamics. We're going to be talking about that. Then we're also going to be talking about this whole inflation situation. We got to start there, Shire.
Inflation,
cost of living. This is one thing I like about this podcast, Shire. Allow me to set this up. You got to have a good place to vent. You got to have a good place where you can get with real people and say, dang, they're going through a similar situation. So many times you listen to podcasts or you see people on social media and all you see is the good stuff. And you'd be like, I can't relate to that right now. I ain't really feeling like that right now. But one thing we could all relate to is how high prices are going on the things that we buy on the daily. And there is an article, a recent article that my pops sent us in the group chat, talking about the needed salary for a single person and how much a single person would need to live alone, to live comfortably in 25 major U.S. cities. And boy, these numbers are crazy. So we're going to talk about it, Shire. I'm going to let you walk us through this article and we're going to give our opinions and our takes on this whole situation. What you thinking?
Okay. Well, first, I think it was pretty interesting for your dad to send this article in the group thread.
Yes.
I want y'all to know that as the in-law, as the daughter-in-law, whenever there's messages going out on the group chat, I just stay quiet. You know?
Yes.
I just want to watch the conversation play out. I appreciate y'all including me because there are some threads I'm not on.
And there's like 20 threads, mind you.
There's a lot of threads, but this one did come in the thread I was on.
Yes.
And I said, I'm not going to say nothing. I'm just going to watch how this conversation plays out. Because, you know, responses and thoughts on this is really based on your own lived experience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And everyone has their own different experience.
Yes.
You know, with you, your siblings, everyone is different. Everyone has taken their own path.
Right.
But this article was still nonetheless very interesting. Whew. It's the salary a single person needs to live comfortably in 25 U.S. major cities. Let's see what the article says. So it says to live comfortably, and I will say that is in quotations.
In quotations.
As a single person in 99 of the largest U.S. metro areas, you'll need a median income of $93,933. And this is according to a recent smart asset analysis. Mm. Now, comfortable is defined as the income needed to cover a 50, 30, 20 budget.
Okay.
And this assumes that 50% of your monthly income can pay for necessities like housing and utilities, 30% can cover discretionary spending,
okay,
and 20% can be set aside for savings or investments.
Okay.
So that's how they are defining.
I like that little metrics. I like that metrics.
So you have money to live. You have money to play and you have money to save. Okay. That's fair, you know. Mm-hmm. So it looks like they used that criteria and they came up with this list.
Yes.
And so let me see if it's in order.
It's in order from 1 to 25.
Well, it sounds like, you know, at the beginning, they did mention 99 of the largest U.S. metro areas, but then maybe they pulled out 25.
Yes.
And the first one that they share is New York City.
New York City.
And that you would need, you know, $138,570 as a single person to live comfortably in New York City. Does that surprise you at all?
From what I hear and what I studied about New York, that doesn't surprise me. I hear it's a very expensive place to live. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons being is there's not very much land in New York, right? New York is made up of boroughs, and it's just not, they're just building on top. It's not a large land-based area.
Mm-hmm.
So to get real estate there or find a place to live there is not a surprise that it's super expensive. But why would you want to live there? It's cold. They got rats.
I mean, I think no. I think people are there for different reasons, right? So, you know, maybe you have family ties. Mm-hmm. Your family's always lived there. It's the same reason why we're here in California.
Yeah, makes sense. It's on the coast. It's still on the coast. It's the not entertainment capital of the world, but media capital of the world. You know, a lot of your you got Wall Street. You got a lot of stuff in New York. It's like, so that it makes sense why it's an expensive place to live.
Okay.
138 for one person? Man, please, man. That's crazy.
Okay, so next on the list is San Jose.
San Jose, California. Also known as Silicon Valley.
Yeah, right? that is the first thing that came to mind. It's like, mm-hmm. this is Silicon Valley. So salary for one person to live comfortably, they have $136,739.
That does, man.
I mean, I'm not surprised by that. Man. I'm not surprised.
The dollar amount is surprising, but it's not surprising that they're number two on the list. I'll say that.
Okay.
Here's the thing about San Jose. You got, you know, the Niners play near San Jose. You got Silicon Valley. You got the San Jose Sharks. But when you go and you visit San Jose, what is very appealing about that to you, Shire? Not much, right?
Didn't we stay in San Jose?
We stayed in San Jose.
I was... Okay, they have a really nice museum. They have like a tech museum, which is really cool.
A lot of nice museums.
But we stayed at the Airbnb. It was a condo. In the middle of the night, we looked out the window. Somebody was getting pulled over.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, but that just could have been where our Airbnb was located. You know, there's cop cars outside. And I'm like, let me record, because you just never know what's going to happen.
And while it's the Bay, it's not like necessarily on the coast. It feels like it's very inland. Bay Area, like it's not near no water or nothing, but I could be wrong, but anyway,
I'm sure there's nice things there, and,
yeah,
you know, as far as jobs and tech. I'm just looking at census.gov, mm-hmm. and it says that the median household income in San Jose is $136,000, so it's very,
yeah, so, it's very on
so
point.
That, you know, so it's so much in alignment with what this article lists, mm-hmm. but, you know, the census is saying the household income,
mm-hmm.
and this article is like what a single person needs. So they're not necessarily saying the same thing, but...
Well, I think that's telling, and we're going to go there a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But let's keep going, Shire.
But that is what households are making there, because that's the median household.
Yes.
Okay. Let me skip down to... let's just go to number five. This Boston, $124,966.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Number five, Boston. That makes sense. It's near New York. If you look at a map, I don't know how many of you live on, according to the metrics, a lot of you live in the South and in like West Coast and some New York. We have some New York listeners, but the Northeast in general, literally New York, Boston, Philadelphia, all those areas are like super close compared to like Cali. Like I could drive the distance from New York to Boston is like us going from here to Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the price being high in New York and being high in Boston kind of makes sense, because they're like closer than you would think.
Yeah. And this was really interesting because someone did a post on Reddit, and they titled it $100,000 salary in Boston feels like $46,000. So while, you know, these salaries seem like really high, what you're able to do and how far your dollar stretches is different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's keep going, Shire. We got San Diego at six, Southern California, right near the coast of, near the border, you know, of Cali and Mexico. You got a lot of, here's a really nice beach town, man.
Oh, San Diego?
Yeah. I haven't been there, but I want to go. But it makes sense why that is, you need $122,803 for a single person to live there.
Another one, of course, there's San Francisco, yeah, y'all already
number
know.
Number eight, San Francisco.
Then there's Oakland at number 10. Oh, this is Oakland, California. Okay, a number of these cities are in California.
Yeah.
So Oakland is $118,768.
Mm-hmm. That's wild. That's wild. Now, there are some nice parts of Oakland. I don't know all the parts of Oakland, but the main parts that I've been to make $118,000 and then to get that as a return on investment is wild. You're getting your car broken into. You're getting stores closing down.
There's a lot of store closures. I mean, we've
got a lot of homelessness.
Yeah, we had our car broken into in Oakland, and we weren't there very long. It was right outside the restaurant we were eating at.
It's a 50-50 shot, Shire.
Like, good luck.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving along. Let's see. Number 13, Jersey City, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. $116,646.
I heard New Jersey is like a good, you know, New York adjacent. It's like New York light. You know what I'm saying? So a lot, I can see why that's, a lot of people are trying to, are opting to go there instead of living in New York. But okay, then we got Anaheim, California, which I really like Anaheim, Orange County, that area. I really like that area of, because you're close enough to LA, but it's like its own little world, mm-hmm. right? It's like its own little red portion of LA. A lot of Karens out there, you know what I mean? But market. You got Disneyland, you got a lot of I like Anaheim. I think Anaheim's a nice little vibe. You need $114,691 to live in that
comfortably.
City. Live comfortably.
Okay. What about Los Angeles?
Los Angeles comes in at number 17. You need $110,000 to live there. Los Angeles, I would expect LA to be higher on this list. Because to me, actually LA and the place right above LA, which is Honolulu. You need $111,000 to live in Honolulu, Hawaii. Hawaii and LA have the best climates in the world to me. Now, I haven't been everywhere, but the best year-round weather is Hawaii and freaking LA.
Every time
I go to LA.
Well, we go when it's cold in Sacramento. That's the time to go there.
Yes, and it's high 60s, low 70s, and it's just wonderful. So I really like LA. I think most rich people have a home in LA or have a residence in LA. That's kind of like everyone during the dawn of their, with money, let me say, during the dawn of their life, they'll usually move to Southern California, or if you got big money, Hawaii or something like that.
Or you got big dreams, you go there. Okay, what else we got on here?
Well, we got to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Sacramento made the list. You know what I'm saying? Sacktown came in at number 22. You need $104,000 to live in our lovely city, the city of trees. You know what I'm saying? The mm-hmm. city by the bay. You know? What do you think about that, Shire?
I'm actually surprised to see that.
$104,000 to just live by yourself?
It's to live comfortably. Okay, I think there's plenty of folks living making $104,000. So the key here, or I see as the key, is living comfortably. I am surprised to see it at $104,000.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do come from the Bay Area to live in Sacramento because it's more affordable.
But is it not? But look at it, it's not that much affordable, huh?
Well,
San Francisco $119,000. Sacramento is $104,000.
To live comfortably.
It's a little bit better.
Yeah. We have a lot of state jobs here. I think it's probably harder to get that salary as a state worker, mm-hmm. but it actually just depends on what you do. But there's universities that are here, so there are different sectors that you could achieve that.
Yeah.
You know, but it's probably hard. I think it just all depends on your field.
Well, Shire, before we get to Sacramento at 22, I'm surprised to see one of the very lone, I think there's only two southern cities on here. We all think of the South as a place to go when you want somewhere affordable, right? Mm-hmm. Well, one place that's not affordable to live, looks like, is ATL. Speaking of Freaknik. Atlanta is at number 21, right above Sacramento.
Okay.
You need $107,453 to live comfortably in Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that too, that they would be so close and actually a little bit higher, because I would think, you know, moving from California, if you go to the South, that things would be cheaper. Mm-hmm. But here I am enlightened that's not always the case.
Atlanta is, from what I hear, way people I hear people describe it, it's this... It's in the South, but it's this Hollywood-like city in the middle of the South. Like, it's different. It's set apart. That's why, like, a lot of people will live on the outskirts of Atlanta, you know. But that city itself is, like, it's going to cost you to live there. You know what I'm saying? It's It's got its own Black Hollywood. It's this place where it's this destination place that obviously that's going to drive the price up.
Yeah. Number 23 is Raleigh.
Let's talk about it, Shire.
North Carolina.
I don't know what making Raleigh so dope, but Raleigh been expensive. More expensive than Charlotte. Charlotte's not even on here.
Yeah, but probably not too far behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about Raleigh. I think you got some really good universities. You got University of North Carolina. You got Duke University. There's a lot of colleges, elite colleges. So I don't know.
And their housing market feels very much like our own neighborhood here in Northern California. So
it does.
Yes.
So overall, Shire, what are your thoughts on this is what I want to ask you. Is this fair? And I know fair is a place where they judge pigs, you know. But is this doable? Are some of these ranges to live comfortably, is that doable for a single person to be able to obtain this? And the reason I'm asking you, you know, we watch all these shows on the internet, you know, where people are looking for spouses. Oh, yeah, I'm going to talk about it. People are looking for spouses and significant others. And one of their main criteria is, yo, man, they got to make six figures. But now it's even higher than that. Now I'm saying, yeah, they got to make $200,000.
Oh, stop.
Got to make $250,000. Like, so are we living in the twilight zone to think that people can actually, that people are really making this amount of money in mass, not isolated people, not our friend groups, not our elite friend groups that we have, but most people? Are most people making these type of numbers?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Because that's not even what this article says. This article doesn't say most people who are single and doing well have this income.
Right.
So that's not true.
Okay. Okay.
So I did pull up some salary. It says,
okay, what you got, Shire?
Did I say some salary? Some statistics. Okay. I just Googled it, you know. So it says, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, and well, they just kind of shortened this. But anywho, the average U.S. annual salary in the fourth quarter of 2023 was $59,384. And of course, this is nationwide. If you live in certain places, they're going to pay higher salaries for similar work. I mean, we were talking recently about how workers in some industries in fast food now are making $20 an hour in California.
Yes.
You know, so that rule is going to be implemented. We're already seeing changes, you know. But that stat shows us that people are not making these types of incomes.
Yeah. Well, let's go here really quick, Shire. That's why you looked at the stat earlier and it said household income. And I really liked that, because I think a lot of times we want to be lone wolves. And to be a lone wolf and live on your own and live comfortably, you will have to make an exorbitant amount of dollars. You're going to have to make these numbers to live comfortably in these cities. But I think a hack or a escape hatch for that is if you are partnering with your spouse, then your individual numbers may not have to be as high. That's not saying you can just cut it in half, because we are talking about two people now living.
Well, you're talking about two people who are working. You can have a spouse and maybe, you
know, talking about two working spouses. Well, absolutely.
I also think, in addition to that, that a lot of people have roommates, especially in Sacramento and a lot of these major cities, you know, you have an apartment and you're renting out a room. You're renting out two rooms, you know, so that is another option as well. Mm-hmm. And Marcus, you know, I don't know, because I'm looking back at Sacramento. It has become increasingly expensive to live in Sacramento.
Yes.
But I think that if you're not making $100K, that you could do it.
Okay, I agree. But can you live comfortable by the comfortable metrics that this article lays out?
Well, I think we, okay, let's see. So do I need, because it says, you know, 50% is going towards your necessities, 30% can cover discretionary spending, and 20% is for savings.
I don't spend 30% of my income currently on what I would consider discretionary things.
Right.
Or play.
Now, I think 30 is a lot. Yeah, 30 is a lot. Shoot, we might spend 10% on it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, 30 is a lot. But do we spend more? But we also spend more than half on housing and
no, we don't
the amenities of the house.
I don't think that we do.
We don't,
because if you're not, no, because you're when you factor in
how much we
yeah, save right. and invest.
Right. It's not even half yet.
Because I'm giving and I'm investing so much that it appears like wow.
Yeah, because we give and invest first. Where it, that feels like a, almost like a tax, like it almost feels like something I don't
yes.
see. But you're right. You're right.
Yeah. But, you know, I do want to go back to something you said earlier.
Okay.
You said something about dating and women requiring these high salaries. Now that you read this article and you see how much it actually costs to live comfortably, you know, do you feel that it's possibly justified that someone who's looking for a spouse would want a high income earner? Now, I think that historically you've given these individuals who we've seen on the internet a hard time for having such high income requirements. But now that you read this, do you feel differently? And yes, I am putting you on the spot right now.
I do not feel different. All right, to quote the
guy,
I do not. Now, and I'm going to tell you why, Shia, because I think that you start to just limp. I think that's a search. What do they call when you want to a search filter that you probably just shouldn't have a hard and fast rule. To me, there's other more important filters to put on the partner search. Then he had then this specific dollar amount. Because what if you wanted, you put this, the dollar amount at 100 and a dude makes 97, but you put the filter on 100. So the 97 dude is out technically, you know, it's
that's okay. It's somebody else will grab up the 97.
I just think it's become a cultural phenomenon to say six figures.
I don't even know if that's in our culture. It's like a internet
sensation, like six figures. Everything is that's the benchmark. You if you make 99, you whack. If you get up to that 100, yo, you lit. So but anyway, I just think
so you don't think that it's reasonable considering I think it's what reasonable we just to, read
well sometimes I'll hear people in the situation we're speaking of, I hear people say as someone who's good with money, who can take who's able to take care of themselves, like those I think those philosophies are more important than actual numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could look at the metrics and it's like, yeah, on paper this look good, but the dude got a gambling habit, he's got all this Marcus. Debt and all it. No, just keep it 100.
I think we go to say, oh, if they're rich then maybe they don't have good character.
No, I'm not saying.
I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that's rarely true.
I'm just saying the money, the on paper doesn't always tell the full story. What are the philosophies around money? If a guy makes 70 and has zero debt and a great money philosophy, he may be better off than the guy making 100.
Yeah.
He may be better off because you can make $100,000 a year and have a lot of debt and you're in the red to close out the year and you live and you make up that red living with credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always that. But I'm not saying I get it, but I understand. I understand why they say that.
Okay.
Because when you look at these numbers, it's high. It's high, man. You got to be able to make some money if you want to live in these cities that we're talking about. And I'm sure there's more cities not on the list that you need to make some money in.
Yeah, man. Definitely. You know, I did put you on the spot there, but mm-hmm. I do think the request at times is unreasonable.
Yeah.
But anywho.
Yeah. Well, Shia, I definitely want to get your opinion on this, right? We're talking about family. We're talking about in-laws. We're talking about money. We're talking about all those things in this next topic. And we're talking about one of the greatest basketball players to ever live. We're talking about Kobe Bryant. Let me set the stage for you, Shia.
So we have Kobe Bryant's parents who recently came in the news because they're going to be selling Kobe's year 2000 championship ring. Now, when I first hear that, I'm thinking, are they selling it because they need the money? Usually that's why people sell memorabilia, sports memorabilia. And I'm troubled because there's so many people that love Kobe that have money that probably would have bought that under the table.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we hearing about it? Why did they make it so public? And from doing the history, there has been some, I'm going to play you a clip. I'm just setting the clip up.
Okay.
There has been some trouble in paradise when it becomes in regards to Kobe and his widowed wife. We know Kobe passed a couple years ago. And Kobe's parents. So I'm going to play you this clip. It's a little long. I want you to take a listen to this clip. And then I want your reaction to this, okay?
Yeah.
This is from Shannon Sharp talking to another former NBA player about the situation. It's going to tell you all you need to know. And I want to hear your thoughts on the situation. Here we go.
The parents ain't got to spend no one day with Vanessa. Whether they liked her or not, your like or dislike doesn't outweigh Kobe's love.
That has nothing to do with the love and survival.
No, I'm just saying, something caused this break, Gil. Caused this break.
Yes, it did. It was Vanessa caused the break, so they had to be on the out. Right? So since they're on the out... Since they're on the out, all the stuff that he did for them before this break, the house and all that, they can't keep up with it, right? They don't have a job. They're in their 60s and 70s. So Kobe was taking care of them. Now they're cut off. Now, what did they do to survive? The only thing they have is memorabilia. So if
they were selling it before. You were selling Kobe high school stuff.
Yes, when they got cut off.
All right, Shire. Now, you're an in-law. You're a daughter-in-law.
Yes.
Of a high-profile husband. No.
Yes. Of you, yes.
But, so, we got a few things going here I want to get your thoughts on. One, what do you think about, like, the parents not really being in lockstep with the daughter? I guess Kobe married very young. They told him, you shouldn't do it, man. They met at a video shoot. Man, what you doing, man? He bought her that expensive ring. Remember that? It was like $4 million ring or something crazy. But she rocked with him. She was with him till death did them part. And she, you know, there was cheating. There was a whole 20-year basketball career. And she was with her man. So it turned out the parents were technically wrong, right? But what do you think? Is that a reason to cut off the parents? Because I think that's why they're selling the stuff. But let me get your thoughts on that first.
Well, when we became engaged, your parents told me to call them mom and dad.
Yeah, they did.
And so I called them mom and dad. We were very young.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why we were allowed to get married at 21. I don't know why no one stopped us.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree. We were very young.
Yes.
Kobe's parents having concerns around their young basketball player son getting married. You know, I understand as a mother, you know, wanting to be protective of your child.
Yeah.
And of course, hindsight is 20/20, right?
Yep.
But I don't know. I don't know too much about their relationship, and you know the relationship with Kobe's wife and his parents. Of course, it's been a lot in the news.
Yes.
But unless you hear it from them directly, it is, in my opinion, speculation.
Okay.
But it is, I think, is pretty.
Pretty telling
and probably a fact that, you know, there has been some
some hardships between, you know, parent and
yes,
and them. But I also think that that's normal. I think all families have their challenges. Mm-hmm. When I have challenges in my own family, there aren't people writing about it and putting it in the tabloid. So, you know, so I think that disagreement happens in relationships. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do our best to navigate through it.
I like that, Shire. I'm going to probably go a different route.
Okay.
I always side with the child in these parent-child scenarios.
Well, who is the child? Let's define who the child is. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I mean, you have to get your piece. Go ahead. Okay, 30 seconds. Look, you got 30 seconds on this plan.
The son is no longer a child.
Okay.
So let me rephrase. Maybe that's why you wanted me to clarify. I always side with the son or daughter. That's an adult. They need to be able to make their own decisions. Even if those decisions lead them to knock their head smooth off. We have to, as parents, and I'm saying now that I'm going into the parent realm and my kids are crossing the 10-year-old and going towards teenage years, and it would soon, before I realize it, be adults. You have to, what did I put into you from 0 to 18? Once you hit 18 and you're no longer in my home, it's on you. Now, if you seek advice, if you seek understanding, I'm here for you. But I always say you don't want to be on the bad end of history. Your son or your daughter has a baby, you know, they ain't married, you know, that's not ideal, you know, but do you want to be the one who, I can't believe you did this, and that talks catfish crazy about the scenario, and then they end up, the kid comes, and now you're going to want to be visiting the grandkid, but you talk like crazy because your son, you shouldn't have been with her, and we as parents, we got to be careful. Because life will go on. Yes, you're like disappointed or whatever in your adult kid or in the decision that they may make. But what if that decision, I've seen it happen 1,000 times where it's like, dang, they kind of got together on the not greatest of terms. And then all before you know it, they've been married 10, 15 years, beautiful kids. And you like, dang, if I would have said what I was thinking when it popped off, I would look so silly right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what you have here to say, hey, son, you sure you want to do this? You're a little young to give him let me give you the pros and cons. And then for your son, 18, 20, 19, however old, to look you in the eye and say, I get that, pops, but this is what I want to do.
I think that's what, I mean, don't you think that they moved on from that?
I don't think so. I think it was worse than we think.
Under the bridge. And I think what we're talking about here is the auction of the memorabilia. And, you know, there's this article posted that I was taking a look at, and this is not the first time that this has happened. This is not the first time that they've auctioned off some items. And just looking at this article here, it's sharing that Kobe Bryant's father, Joe Bryant, is auctioning the 2000 NBA championship ring his son gifted him, according to the Golden. You know, I'm not sure who that is, but I'm sure it's another publication. Mm-hmm. The ring is 14 karat gold and features 40 diamonds, including 5 larger round diamonds on either side of the face, which display the word Lakers filled with purple enamel. Okay, so that's for the folks who needed the visual. Okay. Let me just continue on.
Blasphemous. That's all I'm going to say.
And share that the article says, however, it is not the original ring Kobe won during his first championship, but rather a replica the late athlete ordered for his dad. Here's a quote. It says, this is a quote from the auction site, and it says, obtained directly from the Bryant family, this ring is a true one of a kind, and we can confirm that it is the only championship ring ever given by Kobe to his father. So it is a replica, Marcus.
Mm-hmm. Allegedly. Okay. So as of this publication, the bid has reached a whopping $141,000, and bidding for the ring ends on March 30th. So that's coming up soon. The article does go on to say that before his death, Kobe had a strained relationship with his parents. Their relationship began to get rocky when Kobe got engaged to Vanessa, as you were sharing, who he would later marry and have four kids with. The five-time NBA champion told the LA Times in 2003 that his parents had an issue with Vanessa because she wasn't black. So that's unfortunate. Okay. They didn't even attend the couple's wedding. Okay.
You help them argue. Keep going.
Okay.
Keep on going. This is petty. This is petty now.
Okay. Okay. Keep going. Kobe tried to work on the relationship with his mom and dad. Still, things took a turn when they attempted to auction off a large collection of memorabilia from the NBA's star's career, including his high school uniforms and a pair of Lakers championship rings. And then Kobe sued his parents, stating that he did not permit them to sell the items. So that lets you know right there what how he felt about his belongings being auctioned. Okay, that's just me throwing in my opinion. And then here's a quote that he tweeted. So it says, "When you give, 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 and they take, 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 at what point do you draw the line in the sand?" So this was a tweet from May of 2013. After the NBA legend settled with his parents, the parents said in a statement, and this was a quote, they are quoted as saying that they, quote unquote, regret our actions and statements related to the Kobe Bryant auction memorabilia.
Mm.
"We apologize for any misunderstanding and unintended pain we have caused our son and appreciate the financial support he has provided over the years," end quote. Okay.
You just made me more mad.
Let's add to it since we're there,
but go ahead, keep going.
I think that there's so many layers here because they did auction, he did sue when he was here, and the parents apologized.
Yes.
And they said that they appreciate the financial support he has provided over the years.
Yeah. Let me add this to that, Shia, while you're there.
Okay.
And then I'm going off.
"I'm not married, but my mom kind of let me live my life. This is what Kobe told ESPN. Our relationship is an ish. I say, I'm going to buy you a very nice home. And the response is, that's not good enough. Then you're selling my ish. Hold on. Kobe told ESPN, our relationship is an ish. I say, I'm going to buy you a very nice home. And the response is, that's not good enough."
I need you to clear out on this one, because I talked about this on the last quick cast that I did. It's not your children's job to take care of you. If you didn't, if God didn't bless you and bless your seed to be arguably one of the greatest players in NBA history and to make millions of dollars, what would you have done? What did you do? What was your plan before the day he was conceived? Was it to have your son be your bankroll until you transition? No. So why do we expect our kids to be the ones that's like, I can't survive without, if they don't take care of me, if they not buying me houses? Matter of fact, it's to the point where I'll just sell their stuff then. If they ain't going to give me no money, I'm going to sell their stuff to pay for my lifestyle.
No, no.
It's ridiculous.
No. I don't agree. I don't think that that's what's happening.
No, I think that's exactly what's happening.
And you know what? I have, of course, no bad words to say about anyone.
But this is a
complex situation, I think. The ring is a replica, so it is very likely that the real ring is with his family.
Of course, Kobe's ring is his, but
you order replica rings. Some players, because there's only one trophy right when you win a championship. But if I want a trophy at my house, at the same time I order a replica, so they make multiple ones.
Yes.
So it's still very special.
It is special.
And for the father to say, "Who's my son's passed?" Not only is he the greatest ever if he was alive, but he's also posthumous now. Now he's dead.
I know, which makes it which we don't know how hurtful this might be for the parents to do this.
All you gotta do is look at what they did while he was alive. It's a pattern now.
No.
This isn't an isolated incident.
No.
This is a pattern of behavior for the parents. Marcus, he had to sue his own parents.
I know, but they apologized.
Because they were selling his ish.
But they apologized.
But then they went ahead and did it again when he died.
But it could be for financial reasons.
What would you be doing if your son wasn't Kobe Bryant? Wouldn't you have to sustain yourself? Then do that now.
Marcus, is when you're older, I don't know. How old are his parents?
They started to rely on the fact that their son was rich.
But this is what they said in the quote that I read, that they appreciate the financial support that they've received from their son. And they probably are no longer receiving that. And if you come to rely on something and then it goes away, then it's just kind of like, well, what am I going to do?
Figure it
out.
Just like everybody else
But they did figure it out, right?
So selling your son's priceless memorabilia, that's your way of figuring it out?
Marcus.
And then not doing it discreetly.
I think we need to have a little bit more grace for people.
I'm not going
to
do that.
Okay.
I have grace for the Bryant family.
They are the Bryant family.
I have grace for his widowed wife. That has been with him for the past 20 plus years of his, been with him his adult life.
Yes.
Parents get a lot of credit for what they do on the front end.
Mm-hmm.
But you have been with me through the man, through me becoming a man.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a stake in it that I think is a bit larger than parents.
I know, but I think that, I mean, actually, I have no idea. I mean, let me just say that. I have no idea what it's like.
Yes,
to lose a child. And I can only imagine that ring as being a precious gift, that being something that they really don't want to part with. So I can only imagine what it's like for them to even have to do this. And this is me giving them the benefit of the doubt, which I do think they deserve.
I think a person deserves the benefit of the doubt on their first infringement. This is infringement number two for them. The first one was so bad that he had to sue them.
Mm-hmm.
Then they like, "I'm sorry, we shouldn't have did that. Man, I'm sorry, We did that. We shouldn't have did that." Then he passes, which you should want to hold on to things of him even the more now that this is all I have to in remembrance of him. We took communion today at church in remembrance of the Christ. This is my son gave me this championship ring, his first ring. But I need some money, though.
Marcus.
I'd rather go get a doggone job than sell something so precious.
Okay. I hear you on that.
I did this before and I was like, it was bad that I did that. And I recognize that I shouldn't have done it. Now I'm doing it again. It's just
What if they don't want to do it, but they feel that they have to because they're in a financial bind? So you're saying they should live on the streets before they sell that ring. That's what you're saying.
Is whatever they get from this ring the difference between living
what
on the street?
What if it is?
And not living on the street. Is that what you're telling me?
No.
Is that what you believe?
I'm not saying. I'm just asking. Actually, my question was to you.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think that the sale of this ring is them on the street or them in shelter. I don't think it's that.
Well, who would help them? I mean, are you?
You need to think about a saying that I hear Shannon says his grandmama said.
Okay.
Be careful whose feet you step on because it may be attached to the butt you need to kiss tomorrow.
Wait, he said that?
His grandmama said it.
Oh.
Meaning, you should have. This is why every action has an equal reaction. You don't dog the lady of your son's wife to the point where you don't even show up to their wedding day. And then 20 years later, when your son passes and now the lady you dog is in charge of his estate, now you screwed because she's not going to bankroll you no more. You talked about me like a dog. You said you wanted your son to marry, not to marry Hispanic. Now you want me to keep you off the street. That's a lot to ask. So
Marcus,
you have to be careful how you treat folks.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you're going to be wanting something from them later. This is just this is adulting 101. Treat others the way you want to be treated. What if your parents, Mr. Bryant, refused to show up to the wedding of your wife? How would that make you feel?
You know, Marcus, I have a friend, and they were married, and the parents didn't come.
Shame on them.
And it wasn't just the parent that didn't come. The parent had told siblings that if you go, I'm going to cut you off.
Shame on them.
And I met with them recently, and they are working towards reconciliation. And amen. I just think that's so beautiful for them. And yes, of course, they can't go back. And you can't undo what you've done.
Yeah.
But I'm bringing that up because as you were talking about Kobe, I thought of her. And I think the most saddest and like hurtful thing is that we don't care about the ring. Is people, we miss Kobe.
Yes.
And the daughter.
Yes.
And so that's why everyone is so up in arms. But there's nothing that we can do to bring them back.
Yeah, that's true.
And all we can hope for is reconciliation.
Thank
for
you.
For forgiveness.
Forgiveness for the family.
For everyone.
And for Nessa and all of them to be together.
Hey, you wasn't saying that a few minutes ago. You were saying, hey, I would love that. But what you're saying is you did me wrong. So now, hey, I'm going to do you wrong. That's an eye for an eye.
Sometimes it's forget you forever. But I hope that's not the case.
But yet. What message does that send to the children? I hope and I pray.
I agree. This should have brought them together, right? But they didn't even come
to the
funeral.
People grieve, but we don't know why. People grieve in such different ways. And I think people are still grieving for Kobe. The parents, that's continuous grief. The wife, that's continuous grief. She wakes up every day and knows that he's not there. And so I hope that obviously the auction hasn't taken place just yet, according to this site. But all I could do is hope for, you know, forgiveness, reconciliation, because I think that's probably what Kobe would have wanted.
Yeah, well, I think we could leave it there. How can I come back after you put such a nice bow on it like that? I got a lot more to say, but I'm just going to bite my tongue. You're right. Yes, that's the ultimate goal, is for people to be happy and grow together. I just think, like, the parents started the wedge, and so we can't get mad at anyone who is not ready, who keeps it going. You know, we can't get mad at I'll leave with this. You can't offend somebody and then get upset with the response to the offense.
I don't know what the response is.
The only thing you can control, the response is what we're seeing today, where the wife's like, stay over there. Stay over there. You want it? You didn't want to
be
involved?
Has she publicly come out?
No. Okay. We're assuming that that's what's happening.
All right.
Because if they needed money and that wasn't the case, she would have slid him or something. Slid him a taste. The brother's worth almost half a billion dollars.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot of unknowns.
We said all that to say this. All we can control is how we initiate the offense. And if we don't do that, we don't have to deal with the reaction to the offense. And I think that's what we're seeing here. The parents started the offense by not wanting the marriage to take place, and showing that they didn't want the marriage to take place by deeds done. I'm not going to show up to your wedding. That's a clear communication that I'm not with this. Now the response has been, it is what it is today. Where now, where we could or would help you, now you're having to sell precious memorabilia to help yourself. And that's just unfortunate. But I, like you said, I hope that maybe they can reconcile and figure this thing out. But
Whew, this has been a good one, Shy. This has been a good one. You got any other final thoughts, or we want to close on out?
I said what I said.
We're going to be keeping a close eye on this. And like you said, man, the saddest part is that Kobe's not here, man. You know, but prayers to the family, prayers to everybody involved. We're going to get on out of here, but do us a huge favor. You know what I'm saying? If you enjoyed this podcast, leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're consuming the podcast. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to this podcast, leave us a 5-star. Let us know how you like the pod, and we're going to holler at y'all on the next episode. Till then, we out. Peace.
Bye.